Well, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving. Please join us after service for a Thanksgiving celebration. We look forward to celebrating with you. Awesome. Well, we are in a message series, Lead Like Jesus. Well, before we can lead like Jesus, first, we need to know our identity in Jesus. And so we're going to get right into it and get started. Let's pray. God, I just thank you so much for this day that you have given to us. I thank you for each and every person that you have brought here today, that has come here today. And I pray that you would speak a word to each and every heart, to each and every individual here, and they would not leave the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I want to talk to you guys today about identity. Identity, who you are in Christ. So, who are you in Christ? Who are you in Christ? Well, this was a question that I was faced with many years ago. I found myself lying on my college dorm room floor, bawling my eyes out in so much pain. I had realized that for the last 2 years of my life, I was trying to be somebody that I was not. You see, I had given my heart to Jesus at the age of 18, and I made him the leader of my life, and I never looked back. But what I failed to understand was that Jesus just wanted me. He just wanted Michelle. He didn't want some facade, fake me who was trying to be like everyone else I thought that they thought I should be. So today, we're going to talk about two things that you are not. Two things that you are not, and then we're going to go into talking about the remedy and how, two things on how we can walk into our identity, how to walk in our identity and how our true identity and how God has made us. Does that sound good? So number one is, you are not who everyone else says you should be. You are not who everyone else says you should be. So some people, they try so hard to be like everyone else. They strive to be like everybody else. And then there's a whole other group of us, and we work so hard trying to be so different than everyone else. But both of these two extremes, they miss the beautiful peace that comes from just being you. So there I was lying on my college dorm room floor with snot running down my face, soaking my shirt. I was a mess. And I remember my roommate, she walks in on me and she's like, Michelle, are you okay? Oh my God, did somebody die? She's the sweetest girl. She was such a good roommate. Loved her, loved her. And so I totally freaked her out and I finally convinced her, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. I need a moment. I just need some time to myself. And she finally left and gave me a moment to be by myself. And so I remember after she left, I picked up the phone and I called my mom. And I remember pouring out my heart to my mom. And can I just stop there for a moment? Because I want to honor my amazing mom and dad who are in the house here today. Hi guys, I love you. They're awesome. So there I was and I was pouring out my heart to my mom and I was saying, Mom, I realized that for the last 2 years of my life, I've been carrying around this burden on my shoulders. I've been carrying around this weight. And I feel like I've been like holding my breath so tightly. Like I can't breathe. I've been feeling like I've been walking around on eggshells, so afraid of saying the wrong thing or doing the wrong thing or, you know, showing the real me. You know, I had to make sure I prayed this much or did this right this much. I had to make sure that I knew all the answers to everything. And, oh, of course, I know all those scriptures. Yeah, of course, I know that Bible study. Of course, I fast all the time. Don't you? The fact was, it was not true. I was bound. I had such a misperception about who I was and about who my identity was. So what I realized was that I still had not developed that relationship with Jesus, that real relationship, that when I had a real relationship with him, I would want to spend time with him. I didn't do it because I had to. I didn't do it because I had to put on some image or some show to look a certain part. I would do it because I wanted to spend time with him. You see, when you have a real relationship with Jesus, you want to spend time with him. You want to put the time in your relationship with him. You don't do it because you have to. Now, of course, like any relationship in life, we do things sometimes because we have to. We make a conscious choice because it's the right thing to do, right? Well, you will always be drawn back, though, to that person. You'll always be drawn back out of that desire to want to be with that person. And so that's what was missing with me. A secure identity removes false expectations and burdens, and it replaces it with peace and joy. God doesn't want puppets. He does not want puppets. He wants people filled with purpose. Merriam-Webster's dictionary, this is so good, defines identity as the distinguishing character or personality of an individual. Individuality. The Bible, God's word, has to say in Ephesians 4, 7, but that doesn't mean that you should all look and speak and act the same. Out of the generosity of Christ, each of us is given his own gift. This is amazing. Okay, so that means that everybody here, everyone has been, well, they're not going to look, all of us, we're not going to look, we're not going to act, we're not going to speak the same. And God is so loving and so generous that he gave each one of us here in this room and all over the world our own gift. That's amazing. So we live in a day today filled with social media, right? We like to post things and then we wait and we see, okay, how many likes did I get? How many thumbs up did I get? How many hearts, right? It's going deep now. Like how many comments, how many shares? That's like the best compliment ever. Like they shared my post. It's awesome. I mean, we all love to do that. It's fun. We all do. I do. We all love it. But the danger is when you find your identity in how others make you feel. Don't find your identity in how others make you feel. It's so easy to fall into this comparison trap, right? Even here at church, right? We walk in, everyone's got smiles on their face. They're like all happy. And you're like, oh, man, I'm sad today. And then you're comparing yourself to them. And even people walking in their gifts. Like, I want to appreciate our incredible, amazing worship team. Yes, let's give them a hand clap. They are walking in their gifts. We got musicians, we got singers, we got production going on there, and they're doing amazing. We got a production crew up there. We got our greeters, we got our ushers, we got our prayer team, we got our iKids team with their gifts with children. It's amazing, the gifts. And it's so wonderful to see people walking in their gifts. But it can be so easy also to compare yourself to them. Don't compare yourself. Your true identity is in who God created you to be, not in what others expect you to be. So number one is, you are not who everyone else says you should be. You are not who everyone else says you should be. You guys ready for number two? All right, number two. You are not your past. You are not your past. I love this point so much because I feel like this is something that a lot of people do struggle with. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun." Okay, so anyone who has surrendered their life to Jesus, that has said, "Jesus, be the leader of my life," and you belong to him, your old life is gone, and your new life has begun. So I remember one day, my husband and I, we were cleaning out our basement, and we were going through boxes, doing some spring cleaning, and he's walking around, and he's kind of looking in all these boxes, and most of those boxes were mine. And he's like, wow, you have a lot of stuff. And so I was looking through and I was pulling stuff out, and I remember pulling out like this one really big scrapbook. This big, like I couldn't even close it anymore. I was like, it was this big white scrapbook filled with pages, with lots of stuff. I had so much stuff that I had collected and kept and memories and stories attached to all of these things. I remember seeing old concert tickets and old movie tickets and candy wrappers because, you know, they all had a story and a meaning attached to them. So I had to keep them. I had old, like, posters of, like, girl clubs that me and my, like, childhood BFF had made. Anybody make some, like, girl clubs when they were kids? Yeah, so fun. So we had, like, girl clubs. Nobody? Nobody? Yeah, okay, okay. The first service, they were like, woo, woo, yeah. Okay, all right, girl clubs. Yeah, that was fun, girl clubs. So we had girl clubs that we made, and then I had journal entries in there, you know, gushing about old crushes and, you know, talking about sad days and happy days and like every other emotional day you can imagine in between. And so I remember my husband's like, man, like, you need to get rid of all this junk. I was like, excuse me? I know that you did not just call all my things, my memories, like, these are my stories. Like, you might as well just call me junk. Like, I know you did not just say that. I got so mad. I was like, uh-uh. Like, you don't understand. Like, you're going to sit there for 3 hours and listen to all my stories now. Okay, that'll get you. And so, like, I mean, we're talking, okay, I married an incredible African man, okay? He was raised in revival, preaching Jesus, pastor's kid. And, you know, how many know, like, Africans, like, they don't, like, if you live in Africa, you, they don't collect things. Like, they're resourceful. Like, you don't have stuff, like, sitting up on the shelves and taking up a whole room with, like, collectibles. Like, no, if I have it, I'm going to use it. Right? Right, right, right. So, you know, this is the same guy that when we got married and I moved all my stuff in, I brought my dirt devil vacuum, and he was like, I don't think so. Nothing with the word devil on it is coming in this house. Like, okay, this is kind of awkward. Like, really? And so he's like, why can't you get rid of all this stuff? And so I freaked him out so bad with all this stuff, just collecting dust and collectibles. He's like, do you have like a voodoo shrine going on down here? I mean, he was like, I just didn't get it. He didn't get it. So I started to go through all my things and pulling this stuff out. And I remember going through all of this and feeling so sad. I was feeling so sad. I was like, it was like this deep sadness inside of me. And I'm like, God, this is not right. I knew that this was not right. There was something wrong, but I couldn't put my finger on it. And so I knew I needed to talk to God. I was like, all right, God, we need to talk, because this feeling of sadness right now that's so deep, this is not right. So I talked to God, and he showed me something that changed my world forever. He showed me that I was identifying who I was through my past. While I longed to hold on to these memories, it was not who I was anymore. You see, the good memories, they're not going to leave me or be forgotten. But the truth was, my identity was not tied up in all those things from the past. God says, if you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. Suddenly, this made so much sense. I was trying so hard to cling onto these memories, to hold onto them so tightly, because this is who I am, and this is everything that I am. This is my identity. And meanwhile, my future was just over here, slipping, like just waiting, or, you know, just kind of over here. And God was like, no, let go. Let go, because if you just let those things go, I can renew your mind. I can change you. I can open up your eyes. I can show you the great future I have for you. You're not limited to the old Michelle. I have something new for you. So today, maybe some of your memories, maybe they're not good childhood memories. Maybe you have bad painful and hurtful memories. Well, the same applies to you. You are not your past, and your identity is not tied up in those things that you went through. Amen. Amen. You may have heard of this wonderful woman, Joyce Meyer, this woman of God. Well, she publicly shares her story on how she grew up, and she was very abused as a child. And she grew up a very angry and bitter woman. And she began to treat everyone around her in that way, very angry and bitter. And she saw herself as a victim. She made everybody else treat her like, I'm the victim here. Well, God began to show her this message of freedom. And God began to set her free and give her freedom. And now she is speaking and ministering all over the world with this message of freedom. So maybe you're here today and maybe you're like Joyce Meyer. Maybe you have your own story, and maybe you were abused as a child or even an adult. Maybe you've been through a divorce or a failed job, or maybe you've failed at some life goals. Well, I want to tell you today that you are not a failure. You are victorious. That your identity is not tied up in those things that you've gone through. Isaiah 43, 18 to 19 says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Forget the former things. Okay, this does not mean just get over it, forget it. No. Go through that healing process. Go through that grieving process. That's healthy. You need to do that. But while you're going through the process, and after you get to the other side through the process, remember, forget the former things. Don't dwell on them. Another version says it like this. But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what God's going to do it, what I am going to do. For I am about to do something new. Yes, see, I have already begun. Do you not see it? God's saying, open your eyes. Let go. Let go. Let go. Let go of those former things. Let go of those past things. God is doing it. God is doing a new thing. Just because you have been hurt in the past does not mean you have to live like a victim. Christ died to set you free. Amen? Amen. So what's the remedy? We talked about two things that you are not. Now let's talk about two things and two ways and how to walk in your true identity and how God created you. You ready for the first one? All right, number one, the first thing to walk in your identity, be honest. Be honest. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with others, and be honest with God. Proverbs 12, 22. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth. Proverbs 10, 9. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. So isn't it walking securely in our identity that we're talking about today? Well, God says right here, God's word is so good. His answers are always in his word. God says, whoever walks in integrity, whoever walks upright, whoever walks honestly, they walk securely. Praise God. So we don't let our kids get away with lying, as I'm sure all you parents in here can attest to, right? Praise God. Get away with lying. So I remember one day that there was a big mess in the house, and I told all my kids, all right, everybody, come clean up, come do your thing, and take care of your responsibilities. And so they all came scurrying and cleaning up, except one. And so I went up to this child, and I said, honey, why are you not taking care of your responsibilities? Why are you not taking care of what I asked you to do? Well, immediately it was like, defense. It was like, I didn't hear you. You never said anything. Mm-mm. You never told me to clean up anything. Well, I knew that they had heard me. And I was glad that I knew, because this was going to be a good life lesson. So the manipulation started kicking in, and the crying tears, bucket of tears, and the, you don't believe me. I'm telling you the truth. Why don't you believe me? You know, just, and I was like, all right, enough, enough, enough with this. We need to settle this. I said, you need to tell me the truth. Whether the truth is, I really didn't hear you, Mom, or I'm sorry, I heard you, I lied. Either way, you won't be in trouble. You're not going to be in trouble, but you need to tell the truth. So we had to go run an errand, and I said, by the time we get back, you need to tell me the truth. So we went out, and we did our errand, and we came back, and I looked back. It's like the dreaded moment. So I looked back, and sure enough, the truth came out. Sorry, Mommy, I lied. I did hear you. I was so glad that I chose not to just brush that under the rug. Because how many know it could have been just so much easier to be like, okay, fine, you didn't hear me. Okay, fine, fine, fine. Just take care of it, right? But I refused that behavior because I knew the seeds of dishonesty and self-deception that it would sow into their lives. You see, dishonesty, it directly affects your identity. It speaks to a false perception of who you want others to see you as and who you see yourself as. The amazing thing is my child loved me all the same afterwards, and our relationship grew even stronger as a result. Proverbs 3:12 says, "For the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights." God's love will remain the same. God loves you, and your honesty with him will make your relationship with him grow deeper. Before you have to cry tears of hurt and pain, pray tears of vulnerability before God and let him change you. I'm going to say that again. Before you have to cry tears of hurt and pain, before you get to that place of having to cry tears of hurt and pain because of maybe something that you've done or not been honest about, get on your knees and pray and cry tears of vulnerability before God. So as I mentioned to you earlier, I had spent a lot of years trying to be something that I wasn't, and I was lying. I was lying to myself and to others and to God. I didn't know my identity, and it affected our marriage. So I remember when we were filling out, we were doing our premarital classes, and we were filling out our questions, and it came time for us to share with our mentors our answers. And so my husband, or my fiance at the time, it was his turn, and he started sharing his answers. And right when he started to share one of his answers, I was like, I felt like there was something that I should have known. And so I went and I changed my answer. Well, he caught me. He caught me in the lie. And it really makes me so sad just thinking back on this moment, because it really set us off on such the wrong foot. It started us off with seeds of dishonesty and distrust, and it really hurt us. You see, I had such a misperception about who I was. I was bound and I was walking in fear. I really needed to learn more about who my identity was and walk confidently in it. So I pray today that God would set you free. Everyone in here, set you free from lying and pretending. God says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Lies bind you, but the truth, oh, the truth, it looses chains. Even Jesus, Even Jesus, the Son of God, was honest about his fears. Did you guys know that? Even Jesus. He says, Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. He's honest about his fears, dying on the cross for us. He's like, man, I know this is going to be painful. God, if you're willing, please take this cup of suffering from me. But he says, I would rather be obedient than follow my fear. I would rather be obedient than follow my feelings. He says, yes, God, your will, not mine. So what is it today? What is it that you need to be honest about in order to walk in your true identity? What is it today that you need to be honest about? Maybe you've been carrying around these heavy burdens that have been weighing you down that you were never meant to carry. Be honest if you feel inadequate as a mother or father, or husband, wife. Be honest if you feel inadequate as a son, a daughter. Be honest if you feel full of joy and happiness. Don't go around pretending to be all solemn and sad because maybe everyone around you is sad. Don't pretend. So the first thing that you need to do to walk in your identity is be honest. Be honest. Everybody still with me? Yes. Praise God. All right, who's ready for the second thing? I'm ready. Yes. All right, number two. The second thing to walk in your identity. Second thing, believe the truth of God's word. Believe the truth of God's word. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he shall direct your steps. He shall direct your paths. Another version says, or make path straight. Okay, so God says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. He's your creator. He made you. He knows you better than you know yourself. So I think that pretty much warrants that you can trust him. He is a good God. He says, trust with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. We only know in part, guys. We're just people. God is the creator of the universe and everything in it. He knows everything. And so who better to ask and to not lean on just ourselves, but to trust in him. And then he says, in all your ways, acknowledge me. So whether you're going to school or you're going to church or you're going to work or whatever you're doing about your day, acknowledge God. Acknowledge him. And you know what's so amazing about God? He gives us a promise here. And he will direct your paths. He will do it. He says, you do these things, I'll do this. Listen, trust in me. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge me always, and I will make your path straight. So with everything that I had gone through in my situation, everything that I was going through, I needed to trust that God's word for me was true. Even when I didn't see it in action yet, even when it didn't make sense to me, even when I didn't even understand, I needed to believe that God's word was true. Trust that God's word is true for you today. Trust that what God has to say about you is true. Whatever you're going through, any situation, when you don't know who you are in Christ, and you feel unsure, or you feel like your identity is shaken, trust what God has to say about you. And we're going to talk about a few of those things right now. Who does God say you are? These are promises from God. Who does God say you are? God says, you are God's child. You're his child. You are a friend of Jesus. You have been justified. Yes, Lord. You belong to God. All of your sins are forgiven. You are complete in Christ. Wow, thank you, Jesus. You're complete in him, in Christ. You are free of condemnation. God will complete the good work that he started in you. Amen. God will complete the good work he started in you. You are God's workmanship. Beautiful. You may approach God with freedom and confidence. Did you guys know that? You may approach God. You can approach God with freedom and confidence, and you can do all things through Christ. Now, maybe some of those don't make sense to you today. Maybe some of those you're not sure about today. But you have to trust that God's word is true. These promises are true, even if they don't make sense to you today or right now. So in your worship guide, you have all been given a handout that talks about more truths about your identity in Jesus and who you are. These are not just feel-good lines. These are God-breathed truths about who you are in Christ. And nothing and no one can take away these truths from you. Hang them up. Remind yourself of them. Say them to yourselves. Don't forget that God, what God says you are, you are. You are. You will feel unsure. You will feel insecure. But who does God say you are? And what does God have to say about your situation? Who are you as a mother, as a father, maybe as an employee, an employer, as a son, as a daughter? Ask yourself these questions. Who are you? And let God's word speak truth over you. Well, if I could just have the worship team come up. Praise God. Praise God. Whoever is not rooted in Christ will be shaken. Listen, I am enjoying this time of my life. I'm enjoying this season of my life because I chose to be honest. I chose to be honest with myself. I chose to be honest with others. I chose to be honest with God. But whatever I'm going through, whatever I'm feeling, I chose to believe God's truth about my life, what he has to say about me. I'm enjoying this season of my life because I don't have to compare myself to any other pastor's wife. I don't have to compare myself to any other mother. I don't have to compare myself to any other woman. I just have to be me. Yes. I just have to be me, and you just have to be you. The main goal is for you to find your identity in him and in him only. In him and in him only. If you get nothing else from today, remember this. Your main goal is for you to find your identity in him and in him only. When your identity in every part of you, every fiber of your being is rooted in Jesus, you will be secure and you will not be shaken. When all else around you is shaken up, you will not be shaken because your identity is secure in him. So what does it mean? What does it mean to have every single fiber of your being rooted in Jesus? It means, who are you in Christ? It means, what does God have to say about your situation? It means, I'm afraid. I run to Jesus. It means, I feel sad. The answer is Jesus. It means, I feel lonely. Jesus. It means, I am happy. Jesus. It means, I'm grateful. Jesus. It means I am thankful. Jesus. Everything points to Jesus. And in him you will find your true identity.